In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, this is my last Sunday to be with you. And this was a very special time to spend with you in Bern because Margaret and I celebrated my birthday and our anniversary while being here in Switzerland. So that makes it special. I shall never forget that. I wouldn't forget you guys anyway. Let's get that straight. Well, today's gospel, there's some very meaty things to hear. Let me give you a little context, because in the chapter before, Jesus called the disciples. And keep that in mind. And just before this gospel reading, as it says that he was on the mount and there were crowds of people. But this is something most people miss when they read it. It says, and he called his disciples to him. As I've seen it portrayed where Jesus is on the Sermon on the Mount and he's screaming the Beatitudes, blessed art thou who... No, it didn't happen that way. This was the disciples, the apostles. And yes, there were others around there, and we don't know actually what he said to them, but this was intended only for the disciples, also known as the apostles. So Jesus is giving them some words of wisdom here. There's some very deep theology. And there's two principal points that are in this gospel reading. One is about being salt, and the other about being a light. Well, many of you know, the way we use salt today is simply to add a little flavor to things. But in his day, remember, there was no refrigeration. The only way they could preserve food, especially meat, was to heavily salt it. Salt was a preservative. So Jesus is telling them, they're the salt of the earth, which means they're the preservative. Now, a lot of people hate the idea of preservatives today because they're artificial things, artificial ingredients. But he tells them that they are to preserve society. And we see today that, because he warns, he says, if the salt's lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? And it's often asked, wait a minute, how can salt lose its flavor? Well, they had, like along the Dead Sea, they had salt deposits that were used. But it wasn't pure salt. It wasn't sodium chloride. There were other minerals that were mixed in it. And so it could degenerate, that the salt actually left it where there was some other minerals that you might have been thinking that you had something to preserve food with, and it wasn't. I don't know what other kind of minerals, but Jesus says that they weren't good for anything, that they were thrown out and trampled underfoot. Well, today, unfortunately, in many parts of the world, the church hasn't done a very good job of being salt and preserving. But there are encouraging signs in some parts of the earth, especially in Africa, in Asia, South America, where the church is very thriving. But personally, I worry about Europe and America. We're not so much a salt preserving in Europe or in America because of, thanks to secular humanism and other isms that have sort of taken over. Then Jesus goes on to say, you are the light of the world. Now, this term is usually uniquely applied to Jesus, but he's saying, you are luminaries. And it's sort of like Moses when he saw God, that he reflected the glory. So we're not individual lights that we shine on our own. We're reflecting the glory of God. And as such, he says, a city built on a hill cannot be hid. If you're this light, you were to shine. He goes on to say, nobody puts it under a lamp or under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand so it can be seen. And that is what we really need to do, especially now than ever. And he says it gives light to fill the whole house. In this case, we are the light to enlighten the house, which is the world. He says in the same way, he says, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Because that's the only way the world's going to know that you are light, is that you shine, and it's by way of your good works. Because that's the only evidence that the world can see, is by our good works, whether individually or collective, that they may see these good works and glorify God who is in heaven. I'm thinking of so many things, my mind's getting jumbled. Hold on a second here. Oh yes, now I remember what I wanted to say at this point. Is that collectively we are a light, but individually as well too. Now there's some denominations that stress personal salvation to the expense of about being the body of Christ. It's all me and God, God and me. There's very little lateral movement. We Anglicans, on the other hand, tend to do the Jewish thing, and we express the fact we are the family of God, and there's a big emphasis on community. And sometimes we forget that we need, each and every one of us needs that personal relationship with God. Because we don't all go to heaven in a big boat en masse. It's on an individual basis. So we need to stress both of them. But fortunately for us Anglicans, we do have the concept of, like the Jews did, about being a part of Israel and being a part of a covenant community. Then Jesus goes on to say about, don't think I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. He didn't come to abolish, but to fulfill. He says, the earth won't pass away unless everything is accomplished. He goes on to say that those that break the commandments and teaches others will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now, I like this last verse that's in the gospel, because it refers back to what I was just saying a minute ago. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So is Jesus picking on the Pharisees? Yes and no. In a way, because the tendency within Judaism was outward observance of the law, but not in the inner heart. And I attended an Orthodox yeshiva in Jerusalem over 30 years ago. I saw it up close. I was in a yeshiva for almost a year. So I know something about Jewish law, and I know something about its observance. And I also know about that much of what I saw, it was an outward appearance of obeying commandments, but the inner heart was not quite there. So Jesus is saying about the true intent of the law, it must be inscribed on your heart. He doesn't say that per se in this passage, but the Apostle Paul gives a hearty amen to that, that it must come from within. Not an outward appearance, not a following, a mindless following of commandments, but that it comes from our heart, of that regenerated nature. And he says, without this, you don't enter the kingdom of heaven. You can tell we're getting a little close to Lent. We're starting to get into a very reflective period even now, even though we're 4 weeks away. But these are Jesus' words to the disciples, and by extension, it is to us as well. I encourage everyone to think of this, that you're first of all a salt, a preservative. Be that. Live into what Jesus has called us to be, and also to be a light of the world. And St. Ursula's is doing a very good job. I went to the charity, the one meeting? Yes, a couple of weeks ago, and I was happy to see that this church is very concerned about helping those in need. That is being light of the world. So, I encourage you, be salt and be light on behalf of the Lord. Amen.